This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. It's time to step up to the plate with Jim, Steve, Fish, and former two-time Gold Glover World Series champion, Benji Molina.
A swing and a miss, and that's the winner! That's the winner! A World Series winner for the Cardinals!
Ranger, that is! Into left field! Hit number 3,000! A run is scored!
Smith corks one into right down the line! It may go! Go crazy, folks! Go crazy!
A high pop ball! The Clover's there! The Cardinals won the pennant! The Cardinals won the pennant! The Cardinals won the pennant!
Breeze hits it in the air to center. We will see you tomorrow night.
Swing and a miss! The Cardinals are world champions for 2006.
In the air to left, well hit. Back is Craig. What a team. What a ride. The Cardinals are world champs in 2011.
Hello, Cardinal fans, and welcome to a Tuesday edition of Ruffled Feathers, brought to you by our good friends at Patio's, the original party place for St. Louis Cardinal fans everywhere. Remember, pre or post game, it's Patio's. Been going there for a long time. You probably have, too. I know there's a lot of new, shiny stuff across the street from the ballpark, but we highly encourage you to check out the one that's been there since the beginning, and that's our good friends at Patio's. Even during the game, lots of TVs, lots of music, lots of fun, great food. You guys will enjoy it. So make sure you stop in and see our friends at Patio's. And, of course, as always, brought to you by Two Birds on a Bat, the St. Louis Cardinals fan podcast featuring one of the great guys in St. Louis baseball now. You know, everybody knows the last name, but Benji Molina's really made a name for himself. So, we're enjoying doing this kind of spinoff show. And, as always, brought to you by our good friend Randy Green with InnovativeCompanies.com. Residential, commercial, industrial, doesn't matter. Randy and his wonderful daughter Stephanie run such an unbelievable business that helps so many accomplish their goals while also helping their community. Remember, if you're first responder or military, you receive 15% off your total project cost. That's innovativecompanies.com. You know, I just want to say something here. With the offseason kind of, it seems like, and who knows what'll happen tomorrow, but you know, for the Cardinals, it just feels like a standstill. And I know there's a lot of angst out there right now. You know, I have no idea what's going to happen with the Nolan Arenado thing. I still think it's going on behind the scenes, and maybe that's just my wishful thinking. But we've kind of beat that horse. It is what it is at this point. I mean, I'm 1,000% sure if anything's going to get done, the sticking point probably isn't players. It's money. Always is money. And I don't even think this franchise would deny that if you said, look, it's about money. So I think it's kind of become a silly discussion at this juncture, because I think it either will or won't happen, and what it'll come down to is money. So I still think it's going to happen, though, and like I said, it might be wishful thinking. The Astros thing, you know, who knows what'll happen there. It'll probably rear its ugly head again at spring training when they all get together and do their fake apology, which I'm sure at that time I'll get frustrated again and tweet a bunch of stupid shit, but whatever. Right now, though, I think front and center, to be quite honest with you, as far as when it comes to Cardinals, for me, truly is probably, you know, can they win the Central Division? And I think when you ask that question, you look at the Central Division and you say to yourself, holy shit, if the Pirates win 70 games, I'd be shocked. I think, you know, that you look at it and say that. I don't know what's going on with the Cubs. I don't know that you can ever count them out. They've got talent. They've got some aging talent, they've got some talent that didn't come through for them like they thought, but man, they've got some high-end players, so I don't know that you can ever count out a team like that. At any time, if they wanted to, they could turn on the spending button. If they really wanted to, they could. The Brewers, I don't know how you disregard them, because we for years have said, the last couple of years have said they have no pitching, but yet they're a pain in the ass. So I don't know how you disregard the Brewers, but I think we all are disregarding the Brewers. We're all disregarding the Cubs. Obviously, we're disregarding Pittsburgh. The one team that's got everybody's panties in a bunch is Cincinnati. So I think we're going to talk about Cincinnati, because I had tweeted out last week that I was on the Castellanos bandwagon. Like, I was at the point where if they were to get Castellanos, I would have been okay with it and would have felt like we were better for it. You know, but this feeling of now they've got Castellanos and they're way better than us. I'm like, is Nick Castellanos really that good that they get a player like that and you go, holy shit, we can't compete with him. So I find that interesting. Now, it may be true. It may be 100% true, and I don't know for sure if it is or isn't, but we're going to talk about it today, and I think the only way to really look at it is to look at their roster and look at ours and say, who do you think's better? I mean, where is this all coming from? Is it a narrative of simply they're in the headlines all day and we're not, so therefore they got better? I don't know. It might be, and I don't think we know. Like nothing they've done, like, let's face it, like they didn't get like the top of the line guys as far as I'm concerned, I don't think. I mean, Mike Moustakas is a nice player, don't get me wrong, and I think he's going to be really good in that ballpark, but he's not what I would call a top player. He's not an elite player. Castellanos is not an elite player. He's a good player. I guess what it comes right down to it is, are they better than what we have? And then you got to go out and play, obviously, and we'll see what happens. There's been all kinds of teams that have won the offseason and haven't done shit during the regular season. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to talk about it today. And when I talk about these things, I love to have my good friend on the line to bounce this stuff off of. So on the m4byyachty.com hotline, let's welcome in my good friend and yours, Ron Nuttall. What's going on, Ron?
Jim, it is great to talk to you again. And, you know, while our team, we haven't seen much action, you know, we have seen the National League Central make some not insignificant moves. And you just mentioned one of them. Of course, you know, the Pirates shipping off Marte to Arizona. Not much if you're a Cardinal fan. We're kind of sitting here, feels like on the sidelines, kind of watching a Reds team get better. So we think.
Yeah, that Arizona thing's interesting too, by the way. I mean, I know they're not in our division, but that's an interesting thing there. It's almost like – like, I don't see any way in the world they can win their division. But it's almost like we're going to have a good team, not a great team. We're going to spend some money and yet not maybe make the playoff. Like, that's an interesting one for me. But, see, that's an example of what I'm talking about. Like, if you're truly an Arizona Diamondbacks fan, are you happy? And the reason I say that is because, I mean that I don't – like, I don't know that they can win. I guess you should never say somebody can't do anything. I guess that's kind of stupid. But I guess when it comes right down to it, for me, I'm looking at the thing going, you know, if I was Arizona and I was going to try to do this, I mean, Madison Bumgarner is a good pitcher. Starling Marte is a really good player. But what else is there that they have that makes you go, I really think that this team can do this, if that makes sense. So
yeah, well, it does, because I think, Jim, you look at it and go, have they done enough to overtake the Dodgers? And I think the answer is pretty obvious.
Well, I mean, that, not, and that's where I was going. It was almost like those days where you'd look at a Toronto team or, you know, or hell, to be honest with you, even a Boston team, or when Baltimore, like, you know, well, the Yankees are always there, right, when they were really good. And it's like, man, what all would you have to – when Atlanta was really good, like, what would you have to do to be realistic for this division? And – you know, you've got Arizona. I mean, I don't know what the Padres are going to be. They've got some young talent, and they're trying, right? The Giants, I think, are off. Colorado, I think, is a mess. I just do. But the Dodgers sitting there, you know. And then you go into the other division, and you would think, you know, maybe they're thinking wild card. But God darn it, you got the Braves, and you got the Nationals. You got the Mets and the Phillies, who are all improved. And then in the Central, you do have the Cardinals. But again, like I said, we'll see what happens. But those are the types of things I'm talking about. So here's a team that's making moves, and I don't even know if they can make the playoffs. So for a Cardinal fan, you know, is that where the frustration comes from? But let's look at what I think the topic is today. And I think it's, to be quite frank, I think it's really simple. I think most people now, and I think it's a mistake, are thinking that this division's a two-horse race. It's the Cardinals or the Reds. And everybody's saying the Reds are better than us, right? So
yeah.
So let's figure that out. Are they truly better than us? So before we get into this back and forth on, and we're going to look at the players. That's really what all we can do. And again, we don't have a crystal ball, but we're going to do our best to look at it. You obviously have an opinion out there, and you're entitled to it. So please do you. But we're going to do that. But before we do, we're going to remind you to check us out at twobirdsonabat.com. going to ask you to subscribe to the show there. You just click subscribe to the podcast, takes 30 seconds, and it's free. You can also click on Two Birds Blogs and check out our great bloggers as we appreciate all the work that they do. I know once the season gets going, we'll probably see more stuff up there, but they do a fantastic job. Find us on our social media as well and join in our discussions. You can find us on Twitter. We are at Birds on a Bat Show. Facebook's always a big push for us. Type in Two Birds on a Bat. Make sure you click, like the page, follow the page, whatever. When you see the pin post, that's going to be our latest show. If you would throw a like on it, any type of comment, like just love the show or if you want to talk about the topic, and then share it. That just helps us reach more Cardinal fans and bring them into our community. And we appreciate when you guys do that. It means a lot to us. Instagram as well, Two Birds on a Bat Show. And, of course, at lineupmediagroup.fm, home of your radio streaming platform for your mobile device. Download it for free today. Special thanks, as always, to Adam's Smokehouse, the best barbecue in St. Louis, located on Watson Road. Open till 7 on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays. We're going to ask you guys to get down there and check out some of that great barbecue and just walk in the place and get the feel and get that get the nose going, you know, for what you may want. But don't forget, they do box lunch orders as well. Catering, second to none. And, of course, you know, they deliver to certain zip codes as well. They don't deliver to mine, but maybe they deliver to yours. So good for you if they do. But get in there, see Mike and his staff. They do a tremendous job. And like I said, once you walk in, you're going to get disoriented on trying to figure out what to order. Nothing you order is a bad choice. But, of course, if I'm telling you what to order, it's the ribs. That's Adam's Smokehouse, folks. St. Louis, here's your cue. To the Gators Baseball Academy, check out GatorsBaseballAcademy.com. Obviously located in Missouri with their big, beautiful facility over there. But now over in Illinois as well. So if you have a young one, younger or older baseball, softball player looking to improve their game, the offseason's the time. Give them a call now. If you're a team looking to rent space, you know how it gets around here in March and April, give them a call and get on the schedule. That's GatorsBaseballAcademy.com. Learn more about them today. Dr. KristenJacobs.com and her wonderful Ooh La La Spa Anti-Aging and Wellness Center. She does just a tremendous job helping people help themselves, really, and do for themselves. But as always, she reminds you every day of Skin Cancer Awareness Day. That's DrKristenJacobs.com. Okay, so let's do this. I'm going to start off with the Patterson Tire and Service text line, only because it's a great question that'll lead us into our discussion, and I do want to thank them, Patterson Tire and Service, a whole lot more than a tire store. Give them a call, 618-797-6711, for a quick quote on tires or brakes. Of course, they specialize in automotive repair as well, if that check engine light's on or the car's not running right. Had Brian Patterson in studio yesterday on one of our sister shows, the Blues NHL Podcast. Just tremendous people that love sports and love their community. Give them an opportunity for your business today. That's Patterson Tire and Service, a whole lot more than a tire store. Okay, so this question on our text line will lead us into this discussion. Hey, Jim.
Okay.
Thanks for your conversations on the show. Loved last week's batting average. Thought it was an unbelievable show and helped educate fans. Even the most uneducated fan can tell that the Cincinnati Reds have passed us in the Central Division. What can the Cardinals do to catch up to them? Okay. Great question. Because here's my answer. I'm not so sure we need to catch up to them. Obviously, the answer is, for me, on a question like that, just get better. I don't care who it is. I've said this all the time. We're all fixated on Nolan Arenado. That's fine. If we get Nolan Arenado, would we be better? Of course we would. But I've always said in the past that if you have an opportunity to improve on something that you think is a strong suit, don't just sit there and go, like, for instance, don't sit there and go, we don't need starters or we don't need relievers. I always feel like some of the better teams take a strength and make it even stronger, and then they lock stuff down. Like, I think that's an awesome way to look at it. So for me, the Cincinnati Reds have just basically tried to acquire talent, in my opinion, and they're fitting it into their lineup, right? So I think the Cardinals could take a little bit of that and do it themselves. Now, the hard part is, and I don't know about you, Ron, but everybody keeps comparing what these guys are signing to the Dexter Fowler thing. Well, the reality of it is it was the year after the Dexter Fowler signing that the market kind of went boom through the floor. I've always compared it to when the Rams signed who was the quarterback? Sam Bradford. It was after that they changed all the way the incoming players with their draft picks. Like, they started getting less money. So, you know, the Cardinals basically were a year too early. You know, I always say it's like when I bought my first home. I bought it a year too early. A year later, it was the rates were in the floor and the prices were down. You know, it's like sometimes you're on the wrong side of the bubble. But going forward, for me, it's just acquire better talent. Like, it's that simple. Like, try to improve. And I don't know. And again, we're going to talk about it, but I don't know that the Reds are that much better than the Cardinals. Your thoughts on this question. What can we do to stop them from surpassing us in the Central?
Well, Well, first of all, I look at offensively, of course, you can't look at this and go, they haven't made themselves better offensively. They made themselves better defensively. No, they haven't. Is their pitching going to be better than the Cardinals pitching? I don't think so. I mean, health is obviously going to play a huge factor, but I like our pitching staff over Cincinnati's, but I do like Cincinnati's pitching staff. I think it has the potential to be really good. You know, the Cardinals were number one in defense, and, you know, the pitching and defense and base running carried them last year. They really haven't done anything to hurt themselves there. In fact, if you look at taking Marcell Ozuna's defense out of left field, he probably even improved defensively. So have the Reds, basically, can the Reds thump their way hard enough to leapfrog the Cardinals? Jim, they've done the most to improve themselves in the National Central. I'm not ready to put them ahead of where I think the Cardinals are going to finish up this year.
Let's go through it. You ready to go through it? Because I think in the end, that's how we answer this thing. Okay. So let's take a look at it and see where we're at here. Okay. And again, we thank our friends at Patterson Tire and Service a whole lot more than the tire store for getting the conversation going. All right. Let's just go position by position. You want to do that?
Sure.
Okay. So, all right. Let's start at catcher. No better place. Would you rather have Tucker Barnhart or Yadier Molina?
I'll take Yadier Molina every day of the week, twice on Sunday.
Hey, that's my line.
Twice on Monday.
That's my line. That's okay. You can steal my line when it comes to that one. Okay.
Yeah, TM.
Okay. So, and I'm going to keep track of this here. I'm getting my little notepad here. Let's make a new note. God, I mean, sometimes I feel so stupid. Okay. Let's go catcher. We'll go ahead and give that one to the Cardinals. Yachty. Okay. One for the Cardinals. Let's take it on over to first base.
Okay. This gets interesting.
This is where it does get interesting, and I'll agree that it gets interesting. So, you take a look at Joey Votto, who has not been the player that I think a lot of people would believe him to be. And again, I think what you do is I think you look at the old school Joey Votto, right? And you sit there and go, holy cow, I mean, this guy, oh boy, you know, all this kind of stuff, right? The truth of the matter is I don't know if Joey Votto, and again, I know that there's certain things that people are going to look at for this, and you can pick and choose. I mean, I don't, like, I guess if you wanted to, you could say, you know, what is the, we've talked about it on the show, what is your end all be all number for what you think? So, like, for instance, last year, you know, Paul Goldschmidt, according to what people would say, the OPS plus, I guess, or WRC plus, whatever those things are, Paul Goldschmidt was better than Joey Votto. So I don't know how you don't go into this year, and I have to, and I know it's going to sound homerish, but I got to go with Paul Goldschmidt because the deal is this. You can't even tell me, well, Joey Votto's an excellent first baseman, and he is defensively, but so is Paul Goldschmidt. So I got to go Goldie.
Yeah, I agree with you on that one slightly. Now, I will say this. There's an X factor here.
Okay.
And I've heard people say it before that it doesn't matter who bats around you. It doesn't impact you. I don't buy into that at all. Now, I will say this. Joey Votto had some pretty good hitters last year, you know, Eugenio Suarez being in that lineup. But I take what that's the X factor. I'll take Goldie because I love his glove. Age has nothing to do with it. I think they're near an age enough. And while Goldie had a down year, he still was at, what, 116 wave runs created. He's projected to be at 126 next year. Votto's also projected to improve, though, over 2019. I think he was at league average, if I remember correctly, from last year. And this year he's projected to be slightly better. I do think there's going to be an impact with having those other bats in the lineup. I do think he's going to improve, but I like the pop in Goldie's bat a little better. And I think he'll return more to form with on base percentage and slugging percentage. So I'm there with you, but it's not the Grand Canyon between Tucker Barnhart and Yadier Molina, but it's a lot closer.
Okay, but I still think we both agree that it's Goldie over Votto. So even if it's slightly. Right. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
This is the one that gets very interesting for me. This is the one that I sit here and go, well, I don't know. Okay. And everybody's going to go, are you kidding me? It's basically Colton Wong and Mike Moustakas. Okay. For all the Colton Wong lovers out there, he had an OPS plus last year of 106. Well, Mike Moustakas's was 114. Now, make no mistake about it. Mike Moustakas can't play defense remotely close to Colton Wong. But I've told you on here 100 times that the most overrated defensive position in baseball is second base, and it's because of the shift. Every time Colton Wong makes a great play, we all ooh and ah. And that's great, and it is awesome. But the majority of the balls that are hit over there are hit into the shift, and they're routine plays, whether you want to admit that or not. So, for me, this is a tough one. Like, I know people are going to go, are you kidding me? This is a no-brainer. Colton Wong was awesome, and he's a gold glover. Like, I got to be honest with you. I'm going to go push on this one. Your thoughts?
Yeah, this is a close one, Jim. I don't know if it's going to be the closest one, but, you know, they're weighted runs created plus, if that's what you're looking at. It's pretty close. Here's the thing that I'm finding – here's the thing I don't buy yet on, even if you're just talking about projections. So I just pulled up Fangraph has Moustakas projected at a 107. I think it's going to be higher than that. I think it's going to be higher than that because now he's in Cincinnati. And look, I know home runs can be hit out of Miller Park, but Cincinnati's a lot different.
I don't know. I you're breaking up pretty bad there. I'm just letting you know,
sorry.
Ron. Just, I don't know if you want to check your, just to make sure. So if you want to check your bars or whatever, cause you're on a roll today and you're doing phenomenal. I don't want people to miss out on what you're saying. So,
sure. So can you hear me better now?
Yep. You sound great.
Better now?
Sound great. Okay. Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? This is like a, well, I can't
Verizon.
Hear me. Yeah. Verizon. Give us a call if you want some advertisement on here. So I don't know. I'm going push.
That.
I'm going push.
Well, here's, I'm with you, but then I look at this. I'm like, if Moustakas, if he has a down year with the bat, almost useless. If Colton Wong has a down year with the bat, you still have his defense. So I'm going to go slightly in favor of Colton Wong.
Okay. Well, we got to make a decision though. I think for grades, I don't know. We're going to have to argue about this then. Because we got to put something, right?
Yeah.
I think because of what you're saying, that's why it's a push. Like, I'm not sold on, like, Colton Wong had a great year last year, no doubt about it. What's he ever done to make you for sure know that it's going to happen again? So that's why I think it's a push. I think either one of them could easily have a down year offensively. I mean, and let's face it, the name of the game's offense, whether you like it or not. So,
yeah. What?
Because here's the deal. Here's the deal. I promise you this. As good as Colton Wong is defensively, if Mike Moustakas hits 30 home runs there and Colton Wong, his offense is not as good as it was last year. It's Mike Moustakas, folks, every day of the week and twice on Sunday, whether you like that or not. It's pretty simple. And I know people are going to say, are you kidding me? But it's the truth. If Mike Moustakas hits 30 home runs in Cincinnati and Colton Wong has any and suffers any at all offensively less than what he did last year, they have the advantage there, whether you like it or not. That's why I think it's got to be a push. There's my sell in there. Now you got to sell me that it's the other way.
Okay. Look, if Colton Wong can, you know, have a decent on-base percentage, and I don't care if he's hitting singles or not, and I don't know where you're thinking he's batting in the lineup. Mike Moustakas is – I'm going to bounce over to this first. I meant to start here. Sorry. Mike Moustakas, I think the Reds are counting on him being a key part of that lineup. Almost like he it must work for him. They're counting on him quite a bit by bringing him over. I look at the Cardinals and, like, there's a lot of improvement that's needed throughout the lineup. If Colton Wong can just maintain, if he can do 90% of what he did last year, then I think that I be on the shift. But I do think that having that up the middle, strong up the middle defense counts for a lot. So for me, even if, and Mike Moustakas, by the way, he's going to hit more than 36 home runs in Cincinnati. If he's healthy all year long, he's going to be between 35 and 40 likely.
So there's my point. If you're gonna, if you're willing to admit that you think he's gonna hit over 35 home runs, there's no, like, in fact, it, see, you're making the argument the other way, because I promise you, if he hits over 35 home runs, it's not a push. It's Moustakas all day long, because he's in that lineup, especially. Like, now you're making the argument the other way that if you really believe he's gonna hit 35 to 40 home runs, this isn't even close. This is Yachty Tucker Barnhart close. This is true.
Well, for me, it's like I don't need Colton Wong to swing a Mike Moustakas bat. I need Colton.
Oh, I don't either. I don't either. No. But it doesn't matter. We're going position by position. And if Colton Wong could hit 35 home runs, it'd be Colton Wong. But he can't.
No, he's not going to hit 35 home runs.
And he's not going to hit 350 with a 400 on base percentage.
So, it'd be nice
it would. You're really making the case that it's Moustakas. So do you want to stop right there and go with a push?
You can't make me do it.
All right, we'll come back to that if we have to at the end. Third base.
All right.
Do we even need to discuss this?
No.
I mean, Eugenio Suarez, you know, for all of you out there who want to say batting average doesn't matter, well, fuck, he hit 271 last year. I mean, he's a career 265 hitter, and he could easily hit 240, but god darn. I mean, holy moly. It's not even close. So we're not even going to have this discussion, right? Is that a waste of time?
That's a waste of time.
Okay, so we're going to go Reds, and we're going to go Suarez. Here, let me give you a hypothetical, though, on this one, because I know you'll love this.
Sure. Okay.
What if?
Arenado.
What if it was Arenado? I mean, here's my problem with it, and I'm going to be honest with you.
Yeah.
If it is Arenado, does Arenado come in here and slug 572 with a 930 OPS? Does he hit 49 home runs with a 358 OBP? I mean, does he? Like, I'm not so sure. I this is incredible to me. Now, Suarez isn't winning any gold gloves, right? So as an overall player, love. You know what I mean? Like, this is an interesting one. Like, it's almost like you could redo this if they got Arenado, and you couldn't sit here and go, oh, well, we're obviously better than them now at third base.
No, you couldn't say that.
You couldn't. Like, you know, like, this is an interesting one. Like, this is blasphemy, I know, to Cardinal fans everywhere. But this Eugenio Suarez is legit, like, masher. You know, playing in a dump, really.
Right. No, he's good. He's a good player. And so to answer your hypothetical, I do have to factor defense in on it, but I can't even really say it's a push. I mean, honestly, we know Suarez isn't going anywhere. Like, he's too young. He's too good.
He's not going anywhere, but, you know, we're still, hey, don't burst our bubble over here. We're still hoping that the Cardinals get Arenado, you know. I mean, hypothetical, right? Hypothetical. I mean, it's good stuff, right? Okay, so interesting. Currently, they have Freddie Galvis at shortstop, right? And we have Paul DeJong. Now everybody's going to go, oh, Jim, come on, it's Paul DeJong. Is it? Is it? I mean, seriously, like, Paul DeJong's OPS plus was 97. Freddie Galvis's was 92. Paul DeJong is a lot better defensively than he gets credit for. So I guess we do have to go with Paul DeJong. And Galvis hitting 23 home runs in Cincinnati tells me that Paul DeJong definitely has more power. But it's not Freddie Galvis's fault that he hit 23 home runs, although I'm not even sure he was there all last year, was he? No, he was in Toronto. Same thing. So he had 18 home runs there, 5 there. You know, listen, I just, like, that to me, like, I guess I would, like, what are you going to do there? Like, here, I'm going to let you go first on that one.
Yeah. I'm taking Paul DeJong there, and it's not like a landslide. But I'm looking at this runs created plus last year plus projections for 2020. And I know numbers, they are what they are. Usually they're off, sometimes by a lot, but I'm taking Paul DeJong. He is steady, but, you know, you're not going to see him make a bunch of spectacular plays at short, but he's steady. And, I do believe he's going to have a better year than last year. And hopefully he can spread that goodness out throughout the season. I do think he's going to get more rest this year, which I think is going to help a ton. I'm taking Paul DeJong.
Okay. I will go with Paul DeJong too, under the caveat of slight, right? Agreed?
Okay. Sorry, what was that last?
Paul DeJong, slight advantage, Paul DeJong.
Yeah. Okay. I'm there. I'm there with you.
Okay. All right. So that one there is pretty interesting. Now, this is where you can kind of start going, okay, this is, for me, the whole thing here. So you're going to basically go Nick Cat. We're going to left field now, right? And yep. We talked earlier about how I think a lot of us some people would have liked to have had Nick Castellanos in left field. You know, and a lot of people sit there and tell you that he's terrible defensively. Again, it's the position on the field where they put people that are poor defensively if they can hit. No doubt about it. Is it nice if the guy in left field can play defense? Of course it is. So basically, you're going to have Nick Castellanos versus a mixed bag of, let's be frank, right? Tommy Edman,
yep.
Tyler O'Neill, Lane Thomas, right?
Yeah, that sounds like the I don't know how much playing time Edmonds is going to get out here unless they just can't keep his bat out of the lineup and they need him out there every day and those guys fall on their face. But yeah, you have a mixed bag of Tyler O'Neill, Lane Thomas, I think up front early on. You could see Edman out there. Dylan Carlson's an X factor later in the year. But I really think just for a known quantity, an everyday known quantity in left field, I've got to go with Castellanos defense aside, right?
And it's got to be big at this juncture, right? Because you have no way of knowing what's going on with the rest.
Yeah.
That's a big – okay, I mean, I agree.
Yeah,
I mean,
we get in the left field and center. It's kind of – I feel like we're out in the Wild West here with the Cardinals.
Well, I mean, it's the whole thing. I mean, so here's an interesting one, okay? This is one that is this Aquino in right field, what are you going to do here? Like, we can – these are gaudy, goofy-ass numbers from last year, right? You know,
yes.
I don't even know. Geez. So what do you do there? If you're like, who would you rather have right now? Dexter Fowler or him?
Well, if I'm being perfectly honest, I'm probably going with, I don't know. It's not such a straight cut answer here. I would, Cardinal fans' heads might explode here. I'm going to say push on this one because I'm looking at Aquino's numbers from last year. Yeah,
okay.
He has a weighted runs created plus of 119, and it is gaudy.
And he was an OPS of 122, and it was a lot of it. Obviously, was his slugging percentage is insane.
Yeah,
he had 19 home runs and 205 at bats, folks. Okay, and that wasn't. And I mean, I don't think they called him up until later in the year, right? He only played in 56 games.
Yeah, he only had 225 play appearances.
And it didn't like he was on the team the whole year. I mean, they called him up later in the year. He only had 56 games. He only had 56 games with him. So my point is they called him up, and, I mean, I don't know. Like, you know, what do you do here?
Yeah, I might be crazy for not just going along with that, going along with his name, but I think that 56 games isn't insignificant. I mean, it's probably enough to get you excited, right, about a player like that. But we got to see a full year of him. The league's going to adjust to him. How is he going to adjust back to it? I don't know.
Well, I mean, I'll let you go on this one. What are you going to do? You're going to go Cart? You're going to go Fowler?
Well, you know what? If I went Fowler, I'm going to flip a little bit on you here. I'm going to go with kind of the theme I've been on all winter. If you've got young guys and you're going to give them the opportunity to play.
You're not giving them the opportunity over Fowler. No way. He's going to play.
Yeah, so I think if you're looking at right fielder versus right fielder, though, who do we think's got the upper hand here? I don't know. I'm going to stay with my initial reaction was I would push on this one. I just don't know. I haven't seen enough of
it. I'll go with push. Because I think it's the same as the Colton Wong Moustakas thing. There's reasons why I think that's a push. There's reasons why I think this is a push. The reality of it is, if Aquino is what you think he is and Fowler is what you think he is, this is a big advantage for the Reds.
Sure.
But the problem is this guy, to your point, has 200 at-bats in the big leagues. So I'll go with the push. I will. I'll go with the push. Because of that reason, I'll go with the push. Okay? Okay?
Okay.
All right, center field. what do you do here? This is another interesting one. How do you, like, we've got Harrison Bader. They're bringing in this Akiyama guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is a complete unknown. I don't care what he did before. He's a complete unknown. Harrison Bader, though, is a known struggler at the plate. And a tremendous center fielder. Now, by all accounts, if they're going to stick this guy out in center field, he can obviously D it up. No problem. And it's a small ballpark, so you don't have to be a great defender there in center field the way I mean, it's nice to have, right? But like, what do you do here? Are you going to push this one because this guy doesn't have a bat in the big leagues? And he's coming from another country. Like, to me, this is a push.
Yeah, it feels like that, right, Jim? Because honestly, we're saying Bader, right? All signs point to Bader's
sure.
position to lose, and it likely is.
I don't care who it is. Well, it wouldn't matter to me who it is in center. If it was Lane Thomas, if it was Tyler O'Neill, if it was Dylan Carlson, I think it's a push because you could make the same argument for any one of those guys that we're making against their guy. They don't have.
I agree.
So I'm going to go push.
Yep, I am too. For those, I still think center field's an unknown for the Cardinals. I know that Bader's already made a declaration, which I have no problem with players being confident. I get queasy when they start making declarations. But look, I don't know why anybody would. Okay, so he doesn't have a bat in the big leagues. I get it, but everybody was quick to celebrate Shohei Ohtani's greatness before he ever.
Yeah.
Down in a bat spring training game. So, you know, I know we're not, I might compare an apples to oranges here, but we don't know how this guy's going to, you know, adapt to Major League Baseball. And we have the huge question mark in our entire outfield for the Cardinals.
Yeah. No, I'm with you all the way. Okay. All right. Let's move on. Let's go to the bench.
Okay.
I mean, their bench doesn't do anything for me whatsoever. Zero. I mean, who's on our bench now, right? Like, Jaro Munoz can hit.
He can, yeah.
He can hit. You've got a really nice utility player in Tommy Edman. I think Tommy Edman is the X factor of why I give the advantage to our bench without even talking about the other guys that are going to be on there. The backup – like our backup to Yachty's way better than their backup to, I think, is better.
I think so too. Yeah, I would agree.
Tommy Edman is better than the rest of their players, I think. I like Munoz as much or better than like Jesse Winkler. Like I got to go advantage Cardinals on the bench. Am I crazy here?
No, I'd be right there with you. I think that the Cardinals have not only feels like a bit more experience on their bench, but I think definitely more versatility. You got Munoz that can have a little pop, and I think he's a fairly good contact hitter. You know, we think we know what we got in Tommy Edman. We know he's a smart player. You know, now our bench would be a little less than what it was last year, given the departure of Jose Martinez, because we know he was a good player to bring off the bench.
Right,
but I still think the Cardinals have the leg up on Cincinnati here.
So I'm looking at this thing going bench favor Cardinals. Obviously, Senzel? Am I saying that right? If he's on their bench and is, I mean, that changes things. But right now they don't have him up, and you wonder what they'll do with a young prospect. See, this it's the same as Carlson. So like that's why I'm still going to stay where I'm at because we could do the same thing with Carlson. So, like, I'm going to have to give us the advantage on the bench. Okay, this is interesting. Starting pitching. Okay,
yes,
let's go through there.
More interesting.
So let's go one by one here. Obviously, they have a young stud in Luis Castillo. Okay?
Yes.
He would be their version of Jack Flaherty. But I think Jack Flaherty's better. So there are one against their one, I think we're better. Okay? Who do you think our number two is? I'm just curious.
Oh boy.
Is it Michaelis? Is it Hudson?
I think it's either one of those two. It's either one of those two and almost I could interchange those names all day long. But, I think if I was in an important series here, I'd probably, book in the series with, pretty starting Hudson, get in the middle game, and Michaelis pitching game three.
Well, let's just look at the – here, let's do – let's make it real simple. Let's just go through a makeshift rotation, and you tell me – I'm just going to spit them out to you, and then you hear them, and then you tell me what you think. If you if you were to play a five-game series against them, what you would probably get, I'm guessing, is you would probably get Castillo, Bauer, Gray, Miley, Discofani.
Yes.
That's what you would get. If you played the Cardinals in a five-game series, let's give or take, let's say you get Flaherty, Michaelis, Hudson, Wainwright, and the new Japanese pitcher, because or Martinez, or Reyes, or blah, 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 which you could make the same case for them, whatever.
Yeah.
So, I don't know that this isn't a push, is it? Or do we get the edge because of Flaherty?
He definitely is one of the reasons we get the edge. Well, you know what? You know as well as I do. Like, health could throw the whole thing off, right? So I got to assume right now that the guys who they tell us are healthy, and I got to assume they're going to be healthy for most of the year. I can't.
Yeah, I mean, we can only go by what we have now. The reality of it is, if you had your pick between Sonny Gray, Luis Castillo, Trevor Bauer, Wade Miley, and Desclafani, or would you rather have Flaherty, Michaelis, Hudson, Wainwright, and KK, whatever his name is? What would you rather have?
Overall, because it has more depth, it has a ton of experience.
Did you say Cardinals? Because you broke up there.
Yes. No. Okay. I have to give the Cardinals a slight edge there for their depth.
I will go with you on that. Okay. Let's go to the bullpen. Okay. Not the closer, the bullpen. Okay. Michael Lorenzen, Amir Garrett, Lucas Sims, Cody Reed, Sal Romano. Like, I like our bullpen better. Now, Amir Garrett's really good. I like him.
Yes.
I like the Cardinals bullpen. I'm going to go Cards.
Bullpen versus bullpen, I'm with you.
I mean, here's the problem. Bullpens are different every year. This is a complete guess. Everybody that's out there going, "Oh, the Cardinals had a great bullpen last year, and we're fine." Well, that's not true. I mean, it changes every year. People act like they just ignore me when I tell them that it's not a healthy place to be. So
no, it's not. There's a ton of turnover, and what was a strength for you one year is all of a sudden a bit sore at the end of every game the next year. So we see it happen all the time. I go with the bullpen really too, so I agree with you. And I think that because of the pitching depth they have, even potential starters, you got to figure that one or two of those guys ends up actually in the bullpen. The Cardinals' depth is helping them out there, so I have to give them the edge in the bullpen as well.
But we got to give them the edge in closer. I mean, they've got an established closer.
Yeah.
I mean, it's what absolutely. He does. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. You know who their closer is. We don't even know who our closer is today. And the truth of the matter is our closer, whoever it winds up being, might be the best. I have no idea. But they know who theirs is, and it's his job, and it's what he does, and he's pretty good at it.
Right. And you know, if we're talking closer, there's no way to disagree with you on that. And the truth is, we know we're getting Hicks back sometime around the All-Star break, but we don't know what kind of Jordan Hicks we're getting back.
Yeah. I guess if we're really going to do this, I'm assuming we got to look at managers or coaching, right?
Mm-hmm.
Don't we have to?
Yes. Yeah, sure.
I mean, you got to, right? Well, I mean, do we need to move any further? I mean, we have the manager of the year. Don't we?
I think so. Last time I checked.
Okay. Cards.
Unless they were stealing signs and
cards.
Yep. I can go along with that.
Here's an interesting one. Front office. Everybody's going to go, well, they're going to go, oh, well, yeah, right? Right?
Right.
I mean, are we really going to give them, because they went out and signed a couple guys this offseason, we're going to say their front office is better than ours when they've been terrible?
I'm not going to do that.
They flashed a little bit of money. Like,
right.
Like, they did what we did last year, right? Basically, we had a couple holes and we filled them last year. That's really all they've done. They went out and got Mike Moustakas and they got Castellanos, and now I take that back. They made a shrewd move in getting Trevor Bauer. I will say that. I think that was a good move for them. Like, that would, that came out of nowhere. Like, why are the Reds acquiring Trevor Bauer? Right?
Well, I mean, you could look at it at one point also, Jim, and say, you know, the Sonny Gray acquisition didn't seem like a whole big deal, but now you throw him in a rotation with all these guys.
They pounced on a guy that was struggling, right? And reunited him with his pitching guy, I believe, was the issue, was the thing there, right? But isn't he gone now, I think, or something? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, here's the deal. It's a what have you done for me lately thing. So guess what I'm going to do on this one? I'm going to appease the masses and go push, only because what I do know by these guys is, what they have shown me is, at this juncture, they know they have a problem and they're trying to get better. This isn't, like, I'm not seeing, for the people out there going, are you crazy? Okay. I'm not judging the Cincinnati Reds versus the Cardinals over the last 100 years. I'm judging them right now. And what I do know is their front office right now, whether it's right or wrong, has decided we're going to make a run at this. And when certain teams decide they're going to make a run at it, they can flex and they can do it. These guys can do it. They got some prospects. The rumor is they're all over Lindor and Senzel's involved.
Right.
Okay. They have made a couple of moves recently. Okay. So I'm going to go push just because I think both clubs, given the opportunity to make a step, would do something. Do I think the Cardinals are sitting here going, well, they'll have to prove to us that they can do something with what they've done? Sure, maybe they are. But in the end, I got to go with that. So I don't know, push. Or what do you think?
If I'm going by that kind of set of guardrails there, then there's no way to disagree with you. They clearly saw a window of opportunity. They have young talent, and you merge that with players that were available that they jumped all over, and they were able to bring them in. And so you got a formula there for a team that has a chance this year to compete. And compete in a meaningful way. So it remains to be seen. I do give their front office the nod this year.
You will. Okay.
So this offseason, if we're looking at this offseason, okay. I do give for doing what needed to be done, I give them a lot of credit for that. I go Reds front office. Now, over a 10-year period, no way in hell.
No way in hell.
Any other, right. Okay.
All right. So let's do this, because I think the front office probably needs to be like something we look at the end. So let's go through the grades. All right, pretty simple. Let's go with the Cardinals and let's see how many they get. We gave them one at catcher. I think some people would go, I don't think it's as big as you guys think it is. I think the people would go, Tucker Barnhart's pretty good defensively. And while he's not as good as Yadi's been offensively, let's face it, last year Yadi wasn't great offensively. So I think people would take our big away and say, but you still give the advantage to Yadi. So it is an advantage. So let's go Cards. Yeah. There's one. First base, Cards, slightly. Shortstop, Cards, slightly. We had it. Bench, Cards. Starting pitcher, Cards. Bullpen, Cards. Coaching, Cards. Reds. Third base. Left field. Closer. And if we give them front office, push. We had a push at second base. We had a push in right field. We had a push in center field. Three pushes. Now tell me the Reds are better than the Cardinals. Now, let's look at this from a fan's point of view. Let's go one by one now and finish this off. I do this all the time. I tell people I do it because I want them to know. It's not like I'm trying to spook and freak anybody or hide anything. I play devil's advocate all the time. So get your devil's advocate hat on. Jim, you're crazy. Tucker Barnhart won a gold glove over Yadi just a couple years ago. And while he's not great offensively, neither is Yadi. You're crazy. And with Yadi getting a year older, that's really a push, Jimbo. Okay. Your thoughts?
I could certainly understand the argument. All I know is that when you take Yadier out of the lineup for an extended period of time and he's not with the pitching staff, he's not, commanding the field, working with the pitchers, it is a different story. Now, does that mean if Barnhart jumps over into a Cardinals uniform, can he handle the staff just as well? I don't really know that. All I know is I want that guy catching in key games in a key situation. You know what? And say what you want about his offensive numbers. When it's you need an at bat where the bat needs to be put on the ball, and you need to move a runner over, do what needs to be done. I trust nobody more than him. So I'm staying with Molina.
Okay. I agree. Debunked. So I think that one stays. First base, Cardinals, Goldie. Hey, did you not hear your buddy earlier? He told you that when the lineup is going to be a lot better in Cincinnati, and with a better lineup, Votto's going to be better. And I'm confident of Votto being better. Goldie being better, he's got nobody batting behind him. I'm going Votto.
Look, I think Cardinals lineup is going to be better this year, and I know that it doesn't have Marcel's bat, but we also know Marcel was pretty streaky. So I would say that if you want to throw Votto ahead and go against the vote, then look at how Paul Goldschmidt was out of the lineup when he was injured. He wasn't much different. So somebody like Goldschmidt may not need that guy behind him, but I don't think he's going to have to worry about it, because I do think they're going to perform better offensively. I think a lot of players like Matt Carpenter, and Paul DeJong are going to improve over last year. Now, are they going to be head and shoulders over where they were last year? No, I don't think so, but I don't think they're going to be worse. I think they are going to be better, so I think the lineup is going to improve around him. So I don't think he moves. I think Paul Goldschmidt's going to have a better year. I think Votto's still going to have a good year. I'm still not taking him over Goldschmidt at all.
Okay. So we're going to go check on that one. We're going to maintain it. Check.
Okay.
Second base. Are you crazy with a push? We know who Mike Moustakas is. Nobody's claiming he's a great average hitter, but this guy hits 30 home runs, and he's done it in other ballparks. He is going to hit 30-plus home runs in Cincinnati. And 30-plus home runs at second base, I'm sorry, far outweighs a good defensive player. And what in the world has Colton Wong ever done to make you believe he's going to repeat that next year? That is an advantage Cincinnati all day long.
Over our push, right?
Over the push.
A monster year could absolutely put in there, I guess. What do you need that player to be? And we're asking Colton Wong to hit 30 home runs. Need somebody else in the lineup, right? Or in last year.
Hey, you're breaking up really bad, so I'm going to jump in and maybe you can. Okay, so let me jump in and tell you this. Here's what it comes down to for me. Is it more likely that Mike Moustakas goes to Cincinnati and doesn't hit 30 runs, or that Colton Wong's numbers drop 20 points? What's more likely?
Absolutely his number. Colton Wong, batting average drop. If I had to play the bet on
batting average, OBP, the whole bit, is more likely. I'm not saying it will. I'm saying if I had to bet on one, you either bet on, you got $100 in your name. You can put it down on either bet. You can bet Mike Moustakas is going to hit 30 home runs in Cincy, or Colton Wong's OBP and his average are going to drop 20 points. I'm sorry. I don't know. That's an interesting one. I'm going to put it on Moustakas to hit 30 home runs. He's going to hit 30, he's going to hit 30 home runs.
He's done it more often, right?
Yeah.
I mean, he has the track record. He has the history. It's easier to place your bet on something that's way more known. Colton Wong finally had a good, solid year.
I'm so excited about it, too. So excited. Mm-hmm. So excited. And you listen, but on the flip side, what do we also know? Mike Moustakas is not magically going to be good defensively. He's not. And Colton Wong has been good for a long, long time, and he's become elite. So we know that as well. But we are talking about a starved offense here in St. Louis. So I'm sorry, but I think the devil's advocate could win that argument that Mike Moustakas they're going to have the advantage there. So I think that is one that the devil's advocates could win. So I'm going to put down Reds just for that. Third base, we can't even have the conversation, because I'm telling you right now, I'm not even so sure you could go advantage Cardinals if we got Arenado. I don't think you could. So that one's not even worth discussing. Starting pitching. Here's a good one. Are you kidding me? Adam Wainwright's 50. Miles Michaelis hasn't been good since the league's adjusted to him. okay? Have you seen Dakota Hudson's underlying numbers? We don't know anything about this guy. Like, just because this guy pitched good over in the Far East doesn't mean shit over here. I don't know. And Jack Flaherty, I mean, how many innings did we put on this guy last year? And hey, in the first half, he wasn't all that great. I don't like starting pitching, Jim, it can be fickle. You can't tell me that Sonny Gray, Castillo, and Bauer can't be as good as our top three. So at worst, Jim, I think starting pitching, you got to go push. Thoughts?
Yeah, that's a lot of things that have to happen for me to go push, meaning a lot of injuries or just the Red staff is just pitches out of their mind, I guess. But I will not take them over the Cardinals simply because of depth. Depth, and obviously it's being anchored by a pitcher like Jack Flaherty. So now
you're breaking up again, big guy. You there?
I'm trying to find a. Yes, okay. I'm here.
Okay, go ahead.
Cardinals because of their depth.
Okay, all right, and I think they still have it. I really do. I think that's an easy one. I'm just jumping around here looking at these that I think, you know. I don't know how, like, I just don't know how you don't leave shortstop alone. Left field, I think left field, right field, and center field, I think nothing changes. There's too many unknowns. Too many unknowns. And the ones that you have that are known aren't great. Like, it'd be different if Dexter Fowler was Matt Holliday, but he's not. Like, I don't care when it would have been. Like, no young guy that doesn't have any experience really in the big leagues is going to come up and surpass a guy like Holliday for me, no matter what you think his numbers are going to be. So, therefore, I still can't rightfully do it over even Dexter Fowler, even if I think, you know, even though I don't think he's all that great. So, I can't do it. Starting pitcher, I agree. Bullpen, you could say bullpen, I don't even grade it because it changes every year. Like, it's just not good. You could do that if you wanted to. I'm the one last year that reminded everybody that Carlos Martinez, except for two outings, was awful damn good. And every closer has a bad outing or two, so you could say, Jim, bullpen and closer are the same thing. So you could do that and say, push. Mm-hmm. Coaching, I've always maintained that I think coaching's a little bit overrated, so you could go push there. Front office, we gave that to the Reds, but the reality of it is, I don't know that you can. In the end, I think what we've proven here is, I don't know that the Reds are better than the Cardinals. Like, I don't think so. I think what they've done is made themselves better. I think they've given themselves a chance to compete.
Yeah.
And I think that's all that matters to them. Because nobody wins anything with the offseason. You got to go out and play games. I think what the Reds have done have made themselves better and more competitive. Will that be good enough to take over the Cardinals? Maybe. It might be. But I'm sitting here telling you, I'm not taking my eye off the Cubs, and I'm not taking my eye off the Brewers either, because the one thing I know is I don't know that the Cardinals are better. And that's really, at the end of the day, the thing for me. So that's my thoughts. Yours?
Yeah, so I agree with especially one thing you just said, and that was don't take your eye off the Cubs. And I feel like a lot of Cardinal fans, because of the activity, because of the recent news, that they're kind of discounting Chicago. Like, look, the core of that team, minus Jake Arrieta, were World Series champions. That core is still there. And those guys, if they stay healthy, if they play to their ability, they're not a team that's going to roll over for you. They've got a new manager. They got a new voice in the clubhouse. So I think I don't even want to call them a dark horse, because I think they're better than me putting the dark horse label on them. I think they're going to be tough. I think it's still going to be a three-team race, Jim. But I think now, instead of the Brewers, the Reds, they probably jump Milwaukee. I feel confident saying that. Oh my God, I used the C word. I don't think that they had a pretty big gap to close between the Reds and the Cardinals. I do believe they have closed some of it, but not all of it.
All right, I think that's where we're at. Just being honest. Like, that's it for me. Like, I don't see anything else that tells me that they're better. But I do think they have made themselves more competitive, and I think in the end that's all you can do.
Sure. Yeah, I would agree with that. That's exactly how I feel about it too. They definitely have made themselves a lot tougher. And then one thing I'm looking forward to is, well, there are going to be some good competitive series against Cincinnati. Those will be very fun to watch. And as much as I missed the dominance of the NL Central, where everybody was double-digit games behind them in August, sometimes it's fun to have those tight races where they're slugging it out. And so I'm looking forward to that part of it. But there's, you know, things look great on paper, Jim, but then they got to play out on the field, you know, and that's where things can change. And so I think it's going to be a pretty fun year.
I'm with you. Like, as far as I'm concerned, I mean, I'll say it again. They may be winning the offseason, but do they really hand out awards for that? There's been a ton of teams that we've been ready to hand the trophy to in February, and it just, you know, on and on and on about it, and I just don't know that they're better. But again, we could do this all day long. I don't know that the Cardinals are better than they were last year.
Yeah, you can definitely make that solid case.
Like, if you were to ask me, what's more likely, that the Reds are better than they were last year or that the Cardinals are worse than they were last year? And I'm going to tell you, I think the Cardinals might maybe worse. Could be. I don't know. What'd they win last year? 90, 91 games, something like that? I can't remember.
91.
They won 91.
91 games.
They might win 88.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Will the Reds win 88 games? I don't know. I don't know the answer to that question.
Well, they got a better chance now. Let me throw a hypothetical at you, Jim, since we were doing that earlier. I want to throw this at you.
Okay.
If the Reds were to acquire Francisco Lindor, does that push him over the top?
Well, okay. Let's look. Let's look. I'm pulling up the thing that we just did. Okay. So, I would think the shortstop would flip and they would have a big advantage. It would be big, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That obviously makes it a lot closer, right? Like, that makes it a lot closer. Because you start really counting some of these things. Like, for instance, if they were to acquire Lindor, the front office is a no-brainer, Reds, right? And let me tell you something, and I mean this. The coaching thing that's Cardinals becomes a lot easier to go push, because guess what? When you got better players, you're a better coach. Okay?
True.
All right?
Yep.
I mean, you can only trot out there who you got. Makes the starting, you know, listen, in the end, good players make the whole team better. I this thing gets real interesting if they get Francisco Lindor. I'm sorry, but it gets real interesting. Like,
it does.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely. I mean, we've seen it before, Jim. You know, getting that one special player, and if he's a good, the energy level changes, the confidence level changes. There's more electricity in the stands when you get a player with that kind of name on the back of the jersey, your jersey now. Mm-hmm. We know that's a game changer. We've seen it happen. We felt it before. And so that comes a lot. Does it over? Look, then you.
You there? Man, rough day with your phone.
It is. Gosh. I'm going to switch carriers again.
Oh, my goodness gracious. That's okay. We've heard about 99% of what you said, and it's all been good. But, no, man, just listen. I will tell you this. I don't know about you, but I like where you're at. I think your description of this has been, like, I'll even say that I've liked some of your stuff better than some of my opinions, only because you've taken a real pragmatic approach to it, I think. The truth is, like, it is baseball. We have seen crazy things. We have seen teams that we didn't think very good play well. We are not stupid. If you improve your talent level, it gives you a better chance to compete at a higher level. I think that's pretty basic. Like, I don't think you could argue that, right? In the end, though, saying they're better, I can't say that the Reds are better than us. But it wouldn't even matter if I did. If I really, really felt like, if I really, really felt in my heart of hearts like they were better, they still got to go out and do it. Right?
Yeah.
So that's where I'm at on this whole thing. So I think we've answered the question. Are the Reds really better than the Cardinals? I think the answer is no.
That's where I'm at.
All right. I'm curious. We want to know where you're at, though. So all the things that we said here today, if you want to try to debunk them, if you want to try to argue them, if you want to try to tell us something we missed, we're all ears. Happy to do so. You know how to find us. Like I said, we love you guys being part of our show, twobirdsonabat.com. Our social media stuff, after you've gone there and subscribed to the show, which is free, find us on our social media sites, at Birds on a Bat Show on Twitter. We always put the show out. You can reply to that if you disagree or you're something you think we missed. What I would encourage though is when we put the post on Facebook, that's on Two Birds on a Bat, go to the Facebook page, make sure you've liked it so you can see it and everything. But when you see that pinned post, that's the show. So if you comment on it, like it and share it, that helps us. But you can comment on the show if you disagree, agree, or what you think we may have missed or your argument for the why or why not. We would love it. So please do so. Also on Instagram as well, Two Birds on a Bat Show, and of course at lineupmediagroup.fm, home of your radio streaming platform for your mobile device. One last time, thanks to our sponsors, Patterson Tire and Service, a whole lot more than a tire store. Give them a call, 618-797-6711. Get a quick quote on brakes or tires. Set up an appointment if that engine's not running right and run it down to our friends down in Granite City. That's the Patterson family, a whole lot more than a tire store. Great people and a great community. You guys will not be disappointed. Same thing with Adam Smokehouse, folks. If you're looking for the best barbecue in St. Louis, look no further than my friend Mike and his crew at Adam Smokehouse, located on Watson Road. Open till 7 on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays. And, of course, you can do the box lunch orders or catering. You can have it delivered if you live in the right zip code. But I always encourage everybody to get down there and see it for yourself. Smell it. You guys will not be disappointed. There's not one thing you can get off that menu that you'll be like, I made a mistake there. That's Adam Smokehouse, folks. St. Louis, here's your cue. DrKristenJacobs.com, thank you for your continued support. Can't do the show without you. And that reminder that every day is Skin Cancer Awareness Day. That's DrKristenJacobs.com. And, of course, to my good friends at Gators Baseball Academy, located in Missouri and Illinois. It's the offseason. It's time to get better. We just talked today about how the Reds have gotten better. They got better with personnel, but all these players, Cardinals and the Reds, they've been working. They've been improving their game. They've been working with some trainers out there. We have some of those trainers, guys. GatorsBaseballAcademy.com. Give us an opportunity to help your young one improve their game. Baseball, softball, doesn't matter. That's GatorsBaseballAcademy.com. For my good friend Ron and, of course, myself, Jimbo, we are happy to say, let's go Birds!
Go Birds!
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.